Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, everybody. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen to us. We are truly honored.
Absolutely. And this morning, we are definitely honored to be speaking to our guest. We have a lovely lady that has been working diligently to raise awareness of the stigma surrounding mental illness. She's an advocate, a blogger, a public speaker, and a soon-to-be published author, as well as a cast member for This Is My Brave, which we will find out a little bit more about later. Please welcome Janine Hoff.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today, Janine?
Good. You hear me good?
Yep.
Yep, we hear you just fine.
Awesome. I'm great.
Thanks for being with us.
We are sleepy.
Yeah, pretty much. That would be the best way to explain it. Sleepy and, you know, got the window open across the room here and wondering, you know, if that's going to come across. You guys are going to hear cars driving by or anything.
Yeah, well,
that's all.
You know.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post. Scott is a magician. He can make anything disappear.
Yes.
So if you don't have any questions for us, we're just going to jump right in.
Yeah, go for it. I'm excited.
Yay. Okay. So are we.
All righty. So the first question we have for you is that at what age did you determine that you may have a mental health issue, and what was your diagnosis at that time?
You know, it's kind of funny because I wasn't really diagnosed with anything until I was much older, like in my 20s and then really in my 30s. But I was always that nervous kid, like worried about everything under the sun. You know, I had a lot of phobias. You know, I have such a severe fear of flying, and I do it now, but like flying, things like that, subways, even driving. I didn't drive till I was much older. Like any kind of, I guess I'm transportation phobic maybe, but I have no idea.
A chariot.
I know, exactly. I do well on a bicycle, though, I have to be honest. But it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I started having panic attacks. And then later on in my 30s was when I experienced depression, and I was told, you have anxiety. People aren't normally like this. People aren't normally worried about everything under the sun. And so, you know, me, I was afraid of everything, you know, afraid of my own shadow kind of person. And now it's much better. Now I've been a little bit more of a risk taker. I'm doing a lot of adventurous things, like I went whitewater rafting. I started kayaking, you know, 5 years ago. Yeah. You're lucky if I would even stick my toes in the ocean, let alone, you know, get on a piece of foam and paddle away.
Well, I'm on board with the sticking the toes in the ocean bit. I am deathly afraid of sharks, so that's one place you'll never find me is the ocean.
This man is so afraid of sharks, but gets so excited about Shark Week every year.
Yeah, I mean, I watch it.
I watch every one of them, but I couldn't go anywhere near the ocean.
I'm fascinated by them, and I have a lot of respect for them. I respect them so much, I will not enter their habitat no matter what.
But you know what? That's a lot of people, because I love the show Why Planes Crash.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
I didn't know this was a show.
Neither did I.
Oh, yeah. I think it's maybe on the Weather Channel or Discovery, one of those channels, and it's called Why Planes Crash, and they analyze a different plane crash every week. I even went to see the plane, the Miracle on the Hudson, when I was in Charlotte. They had the whole plane, they put it back together. And I was like,
wow,
look at this. Yeah, and, you know, that's how we rationalize it. things, I think.
That and then never fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that actually sounds like a really interesting watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, Janine, when you were diagnosed, were your family and friends supportive? You know, were they understanding? How did they handle, you know, what your diagnosis was, what you've been going through?
You know, it's great. My husband was always very supportive. At first, he didn't know what to do. Like, he didn't know why I was this way, why I was, you know, a panicked mess about everything. And so that's hard to handle. But once I think someone says, you have this, then it makes a lot more sense. You know, until you're actually told, you're just wondering, why is this person behaving this way? And, you know, I explained it to my kids, and my kids totally, they get it. And they're little, and I explained it to them in their own, you know, way that they can understand. But, yeah, my family is very supportive. You know, sometimes they know when mommy just needs a break, or I will say to them, mommy's very anxious today. And they're like, okay. And then they try to be on their best behavior, as best as three little boys can be. they try.
At what point in your journey did you realize that you had become a mental health advocate?
You know, I knew I had a voice. I always was an outspoken person and outspoken for the people who needed to be spoken for, you know, people who were afraid to share their struggles, whatever their struggle might be. And this was my whole life. I was always the person fighting on behalf of or defending the person who just couldn't speak up for themselves. It was just me. I was always raised to speak up and not, you know, you need to be heard. And when I stopped working and I was really not well, I decided, you know what? The only way I can help other people is if I actually share my story. And I decided, funny, I decided this at like 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I knew, yeah, exactly. I'm like, the only way I will ever be of any assistance is to actually tell my story, tell my truth, and do it. And I did, and, you know, I had started working on this a little bit before I shared my story, but I knew that it had to be put out there that I could help. I could help people in my community. I knew that there weren't resources, and I think that was the biggest, you know, kicker, where I couldn't find resources anywhere in my community to help people like me or to find people like me. It was very few and far between, and I live in the city. But, you know, I live in Florida, and it's 50th in the nation for mental health funding per capita. So, yeah, it is bad. And so, you know, the resources are very scattered, and they're not connected. And I knew that something needed to be done. And I said, hey, I'll just go out there. And when I started, I didn't think I'd become like this big thing. And now all of a sudden, I can't stop it. It's like a train and it just keeps going. Oh, there goes a train. See, you know, it just keeps going.
Yeah. It's kind of how it goes. You know, it's the same thing with us. It's been, you know, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, but it just keeps going and it keeps barreling on, you know, and, you know, we're at the point now where we're holding on for the ride, you know?
Yeah.
But
being grateful for any opportunities to, you know, make a difference, as, you know, that's what we're all out here doing.
Yeah. You know, being able to help people.
Yeah. I, you know, every time I get a call or an email or something asking me to do something, I'm like, wow, this is a great opportunity. I don't care who the audience is. I think it's so important for anyone to hear this. And to me, at this point, like, I think, oh, it's common sense. People know how to handle mental health. People know how to handle someone with a mental health disorder. But it really isn't. You know, I'm teaching mental health state. I'm an instructor, and I taught last week. And everyone was like, wow, the terminology you use is so incredible. I would never think to use those words. And I'm thinking, wow, people, these are smart people, you know, people who care. And, you know, what I think is common sense now, it really isn't. And so it's important to get that word out to just anyone.
Yeah, I wish you were closer to us because I would love to take that course from you. I plan on taking it at some point, but I wish I could take it from you. That would be fantastic.
Oh, it's such a hoot. It's such a riot.
Yeah, you know, it's, and like I said before, it's a really good feeling too, knowing that you're helping people and that you're educating people. You know, it's really necessary, especially with everything coming down the pike with what's going on with our government and everything. And I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to talk politics because
your wife will kill you.
Yeah, yeah. there's that. She'll throw a shoe at me. But you know, just being aware, being present to what's going on, you know, and it's almost a chore paying attention to the stuff going on in Washington, but we can't, you know, we have to stay on point. We have to get our voice out there. We have to, yeah, you know, speaking of getting our voice out there, you were recently featured in a TEDx talk. What was that experience like?
If I say it changed my life, like it really did.
Wow.
Yeah, it really did. The opportunities that have come about from that have been incredible. You know, all of a sudden I'm doing television and I'm doing radio and, you know, I'm speaking at all these different places and I'm just like, how on earth? And it's people say, I saw your TED talk. I was at TEDx. And that was pretty amazing. You know, they prepare you so well. It's, you know, about 6 months of work, you know, in advance to prepare you so that you get up there and you know what you're saying. And now, of course, like I watch it and I think, well, I would change this. I would do it this way. I would do that.
Right.
But it was really me getting up and telling my story to hundreds of strangers and, you know, getting them on the journey and getting them to see what mental health is. And I didn't think, you know, it would leave such a lasting impression, but it really, really did. And, you know, and I get to walk around with that moniker, you know, TEDx speaker, Janine Hoff, you know, I feel like Academy Award winner, you know?
Yeah.
It's such an amazing experience to just get up there and just be able to tell my story and make a difference. And I'm telling you, the opportunities that have come about ever since have been just amazing.
And people can find that TEDx talk on YouTube currently, correct?
Yes. All they have to do is search Janine Hoff or search Where is the Sunshine and they will find it.
That's cool. That's very, very cool. And congratulations to you for getting
absolutely.
To do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations.
Yeah, you know, when I got up there, I was thinking, what am I doing? Why did I do this? But you're so well prepared that it just comes out. It just flows. You just know it. And so, but yeah, you always have that moment. And, you know, I love, it's funny because for a person who lives with anxiety, I love public speaking. I love being on a stage. I love performing. Wow. That's what I've done my whole life. So I have a degree in singing, believe it or not. And so,
really?
Yes, I do. I have a degree in voice. And so, you know, I love getting up and performing in front of people. And that to me was a way of managing my anxiety, managing my depression. That was my, you know, self-care is just to sing or to be in front of people.
Oh, that's
again,
cool. That's
no
a
sense.
Very good outlook, too.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same. I'm a bit of a nervous Nelly when it comes to that kind of stuff. But, you know, hopefully at some point I'll get past that because I'm looking to try to do some more public speaking. You know, I've done a tiny little bit at, you know, book signings and what have you, but I haven't ever done anything in front of a big crowd, not since I tried to take a public speaking course in college, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, public speaking courses, I'm sorry, are just terrible. I took one also, and I was like, this is awful. Like, you have to, you know, persuasive speech or whatever. You know, when you're advocating and you're passionate, it's just so natural, I think. It comes out. And, you know, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but I used to be a teacher. And so I'm comfortable also being in front of people. And so, you know, it's all good. Like, it comes out. It's natural.
Yeah, that's one of those things that you don't have an issue with. You know, a lot of people, especially with anxiety, have that hang up about public speaking and talking in front of a
just
group of people.
Being in public in general is nerve-wracking for me.
You know, but
it's two people out there.
But you know, for you, you're good with it, and that's awesome. You know, it can be hard to work at. You know, back when I used to play in bands, you know, for a long time, I would have anxiety about actually getting up on stage and playing and everything. And eventually I overcame it and I looked forward to it. And it was, oh, we're going to go and we're going to play and we're going to have a great show and things are going to be awesome. And, you know, five and a half years removed from it. And, you know, obviously I miss it now, but it's funny because I'm trying to think, you know, with Beck wanting to go out and start speaking, I'm trying to think of ways, you know, pieces of advice that I can give her to overcome her anxiety with it. And, I'm failing at that.
Yeah, I think it's something I just need to work through on my own, and I'll figure it out somehow. I figure out most things in some in time.
she can does think good.
And speaking of time, we've got to take a quick break. We will be right back. And in the meantime, here is Annie Baltic with Low Key.
Yeah.
welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We are glad to have you with us this morning.
Yep, thanks for being back with us, and thanks again to Annie Baltic and her track Low Key, which
was surprisingly high key.
Yeah, had me moving, so, yeah. You know, much to Beck's chagrin. But
and welcome back to our guest, Janine Hoff, today with the website Where is the Sunshine, among many other things that she's juggling at this point in time.
Hi.
So you have...
Hi.
So you have a full schedule ahead of you in the next few months. In June, you'll be speaking at the Mental Health America Conference.
Yes. I'm very excited, and I have to fly by myself, so that'll be great.
Oh, wow.
Oh, geez. Yeah, don't watch that show you were telling us about a little while ago. Where is that being held at?
In D.C.
Oh, cool. Very cool. I love D.C.
Yeah. I'm really excited.
Have you been before?
Yeah, I've been to D.C. a bunch of times. I was actually just there last May with my family, and I got to take my sons all around. And, you know, I took them to see the Declaration of Independence and stuff like that. And, you know, they were like, okay, like, it's a piece of paper. Okay, thanks, Mom. Like, so, but it was really cool.
You'll appreciate this later.
Yeah,
I know,
that's what I was just gonna say. They'll appreciate it later. I mean, my parents, when I was in eighth grade, took me to Pearl Harbor, and while I did appreciate it while I was there, I appreciate it even more now. Like, I can even still get goosebumps and get emotional about talking about the experience of it. Mm-hmm. I always tell people that particular trip changed my life, because it really, really honestly does. And I can't wait until Joe and I save up the funds for me to be able to haul him back to Pearl Harbor, you know, because it was absolutely an amazing experience. So they may not be too excited about it now, but they'll be able to look back and say, yeah, my parents took me to this and it was really cool. So,
mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree.
Now, with the Mental Health America Conference, do you know any more about that? Any details of who else might be speaking? Or?
I know one of Destiny's Child will be speaking. Yeah, and a bunch of other people. You know, I haven't really focused on that too much right now, because I have so many other things going on for May. So I'm like, I'm at that point where I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. And I have a lot of bridges to cross.
Yeah.
This coming month.
Exactly. Yeah, that's definitely, I was going to say that you have a lot of bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool, though. That's exciting that you're getting to go there.
Yeah. I'm excited.
You are also part of an amazing program called This Is My Brave.
Yeah.
Would you share with our audience what that entails? What's that all about?
So This Is My Brave is a national organization, and it's individuals getting up on stage and sharing their story in a production. It's like a monologue-based show of living with mental health disorder. And so there's productions all over the country. There's New York, L.A., D.C., Chicago, all over the place. There's even a production being held in Australia now, so it's gone international. I'm producing the Jacksonville, Florida one, because that's where I'm based out of, Jacksonville. Yes, I'm in the South, and I know you can't tell because I'm not really a Southerner. I'm a Yankee.
I was going to say that there's no drawl down there from you.
Sorry to all our
Southern listeners.
And so I'm producing the Jacksonville one, and we have a cast of about 12 people, and they're going to share their stories of what it's like to live with a mental health disorder, but it is positive, and it's uplifting, and it empowers them, and it decreases stigma in our community. And that's really important, because it's so important for an audience to look at people who look like you and me and see, oh, wow, these people live with a mental health disorder, and they're, you know, thriving, they're working, they're contributing to society. You know, oftentimes when people think of any kind of mental health disorder, they think of, you know, what you see in Hollywood, what you see in the movies. And it's not really that. There's a percentage of that that are real severe and are in the state hospitals and, you know, and are undergoing, you know, more intensive treatment. But the majority of people, you know, what's the statistic? 1 in 5 people will experience a mental health disorder, you know, in their lifetime. 1 in 4 people have one now. I mean, so, you know, it's your neighbor, it's your mailman, it's your teacher, it's the person at the grocery store, it's everyone around us. And so it's important, I think, for people to see what it looks like. And we're doing it May 20th. And I think it's going to be great. I'm really, really excited. I have an awesome cast, and they're going to be sharing essays and speeches and original poetry, and it's going to be awesome.
For anybody that's in your area in Jacksonville, how would they go about getting tickets or being able to see the show?
Well, they can go to whereisthesunshine.com, and they can click on the This Is My Brave tab. Or they can go to 904tix.com, or they can even look on Eventbrite. And, I mean, you know, we're going to do a lot of press, upcoming press. So I'm going to be on, you know, 2 local news shows. I'm doing a local radio show. It's going to be all over. It's, you know, in several upcoming magazines in the May edition. Because May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and that's why we're doing
it. Yes,
it is.
And so,
that's really cool. Is this the first one that you've organized, Janine? Or
it is.
Oh, cool.
It's the very first one. So, you know, I'm excited. And, you know, when I shared my story at TEDx, I really thought, like, I'm not the only one. People have voices, and they should, you know, I like shouting it from the rooftops. And so I think that, yeah, other people should just shout it out there, too. Look at me. I have something and I'm fine. You know, we don't look down on people with cancer or stroke or heart disease or anything like that, you know, and they look like us, people with depression, anxiety, they look like us too.
Yeah, you know, it's not something that any of us asked for, and we didn't, you know, practice any unsafe behavior to contract it. It's not just because it's in our
it's unsafe thinking.
Right. It just because it's, you know, not visible to the naked eye doesn't mean that it's not valid. And that's, you know, the struggle that we're all going through right now is making people aware of the validity of the conditions that we deal with. So the more that we talk, the more that we just keep beating people over the head with this idea, you know, hopefully in not too distant future, we'll all be able to, you know, look back and say we did it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's not contagious. So
right.
Right.
You can't catch it from someone.
That's right. I got to see really quick before Beck asks her next question, because this has been weighing on me. To all of our southern listeners down there, sorry about the terrible accent I used earlier. I'm embarrassed by that, and I am sorry.
You should be.
I am.
We'll have a talk about that later.
Okay, honey. I'll pin that in my calendar.
All right. So, Janine, you've also been invited to New York University with the amazing group Stigma Fighters. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I am so excited. You know, that's where I'm from. I'm a New Yorker, and you know, I'm a Southern transplant. No, I'm a Northern transplant in the South, and I'm excited to return to my, you know, hometown and just be there with a bunch of great people who, it's so funny. I, you know, we are a really small community of advocates, all of us, and it's like we all know each other via social media. And so I'm going to get to meet a lot of these people who I tweet at or Facebook or text or whatever. I'm going to get to see them live and hear their voices. And I'm really, really excited. You know, I'm my piece that I wrote so long ago that I really don't even remember what it was about, but I'm going to assume it's about mental health. And yeah, I wrote it so long ago, and I'm so excited to be part of the book. You know, Sarah Fader is a great advocate, and I mean, she has national recognition from every legitimate source under the sun, and there's good reason for it. She's great at what she does, and mm-hmm. I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm excited to go there and read for NYU, and it's so great that there are people who want to hear what we have to say and hear our stories and listen and, you know, fight stigma. I mean, what better way, you know, to end Mental Health Awareness Month than to go to New York and read out of a book that you're in?
Right, right. Well, you know who else you're going to meet while you're down there, don't you?
Possibly.
Sure. Possibly. Us.
Us.
I hope you guys can be there. I mean, I really hope, you know, Sarah's running a fundraising campaign, and if anyone can contribute, please do. It's Stigma Fighter. And it's, you know, it's wonderful. I mean, I'd love to see all you guys there. It's so great.
Yeah. So far, that's the plan for us, is we will be there too. Beck's going to read a piece that she wrote.
I wrote my piece in 2014 as well. So it's been a little while, but, mm-hmm. You know, I read over it the other day and it's still all very relevant. So that's good. I just have to bump up the age on it a little bit, but,
but yeah, we're excited.
Know, we've got reservations at a hotel, and you know, we're hopeful that everything is going to go through smoothly. And I would love to meet you, and I definitely want to meet Sarah. We've been talking for a while and, you know, looking forward to it. So
I'm
that's going to be my first, and you can help me, Janine, you can help support me as I get up on the stage.
I'll be cheering you on
from
the back.
Yeah, we're excited. Neither of us have ever been to New York either. So, yeah, we're going to be like two little lost lambs in the city.
Yeah, definitely. But
no, it is the easiest city to navigate. It is every three blocks is like the best restaurant in the city. Like there's food everywhere. There's something to do every block. And, you know, just the history of New York and just all the stuff. It's amazing. It really is a great city.
I know. I'm really excited and really hopeful, because I would love to see, you know, just the standards, you know, the Statue of Liberty and everything. And then, of course, I want to go to the 9/11 Memorial and everything.
All that stuff.
So, yeah.
You know, speaking of the 9/11 Memorial, I never talk about this, but my husband was there that day and had to escape and was covered in all the dust and stuff. And
wow.
I mean, part of my fear of flying was also because of that day, you know, with the planes and living in New York and experiencing all of that. When we went to New York last year, I said to him, we're going to do this. And we went to the New World Trade Center and we rode up to the top and we did the whole observation. It's like 102 floors. And it was like overcoming something that had been a fear for both of us. And my husband's not a phobic person. I mean, nothing fazes him, but that was something
right.
that was emotional and, you know, and fear, and I felt liberated when I got to the top. We have all these pictures and stuff, and if you can go to the 9/11 Memorial Museum, that is just so incredibly well done. I mean, that was one of my most favorite experiences, and I'm a New Yorker, and to go there and experience that was phenomenal.
That's something we're definitely looking forward to. I've got a couple of days off from work. I'm trying to get a third just because we're driving out.
Yeah, we're going to drive and
see. Oh, wow.
And
it only takes 9 hours from Michigan, so
it's
not much to us.
No, I drive for a living, so you know, I spend multiple hours a day driving anyway, so I'm not fazed by that.
Well, we are going to take another quick break. This is Joan Ryan on a clear day.
someday, far from night, out of time, out of sight. Dry as the rain, warm the snow, where the winds never go. Follow me to a world you've never heard before on a clear day. Rise and ground. A clear day, how it will astound you, that the glow of your being outshines every star. You'll feel part of every mountain, sea, and shore. You can hear from far and near a world you've never.
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe, she's Rebecca, and we're talking to the lovely Janine Hoff today. And thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening to Joan Ryan's song, On a Clear Day. And, man, lady's got some pipes.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, thanks for being with us there, Janine.
Thanks for hanging in there.
This is fun. I'm having a ball.
That's great. We like to make it fun.
Yeah, we like to hear that.
Usually at my expense, and I'm fine with that. if people are interested in learning more about you, do you have a website that you can share, social media links, all that fun stuff?
Yeah, it's www.whereisthesunshine.com. And on Facebook, it's also Where is the Sunshine. And on Instagram and Twitter, it's at YesYouShine. So it's YesYouShine.
That's great. And what is the background of Where is the Sunshine? Just for us uninitiated. Yeah.
You know, it's before I actually started the organization, it's, you know, we're a 501c3 charity. And before I started it, when I was really depressed and struggling, I started an Instagram account just to, like, find quotes and stuff that I thought were uplifting and positive. And the reason was because when I was looking through social media for, you know, depression, anxiety, stuff like that, what I kept finding was really depressing stuff. I mean, really dark, brooding quotes, and it didn't help. It made it worse. So I said, I'm going to find positivity. I'm going to look for things that make me happy. And so I started this little Instagram account that I called Where is the Sunshine? And I got that name from, you know, I'm a musician, and I thought every song that I know kept saying sunshine in it. Like everything that was I got sunshine on a cloudy day. The sun will come out tomorrow. Here comes the sun. Everything, you know, that represented positive change had to do with the sun. And I was wondering, where is this sunshine that they keep talking about? Because for me, I don't see it. So I called it, Where is the Sunshine? And I started making these little quotes on Instagram. And soon, I mean, people just started following along. And, you know, I got more and more elaborate with it. And then when I stopped working, I said, okay, I'm going to actually do something with this and not just have a fun account. Like, I'm going to see what I can do and how big I can grow this. And so that's how I just started.
That's great. I love that too.
Quite,
you know,
literally looking for the sunshine.
Yeah. You know, you find a day where, like, I'll come home and when Beck is really, she's having a bad day, she's having a down day, and, you know, the curtains are all closed and it's dark in our bedroom, and it's like, yeah, where is the sunshine at this point? You know?
Yeah.
So I love that whole just trying to find the happy side of it. And it's funny too, because, you know, it's spring now, it's springtime, it's April, almost May. And it's nice out, mostly. you know, it's, cool. It's cloudy. It's cloudy here today in beautiful Detroit. But, you know, for the most part, it's still nice out. We've got the window open. It's a nice breeze coming in. And it's not the dark, murky, depressing throes of winter anymore. And
yeah, you know, once it hits September for me, I start to go downhill. I can actually physically feel it. Just,
yeah,
it's everything gets zapped
here
out of me.
Here we don't have that because I live in the Sunshine State, which didn't even occur to me when I put this all together. And it's always sunny here, except when we have our, you know, summer storms every single day, and it's the sky turns black, and, you know, you have to take shelter immediately. But there's always sun here, and it's always bright. And even, I mean, for us, it didn't matter how bright the sun was. I was still, you know, hidden in the darkness too, you know, with the shade closed. And
yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, that's got to be even, you know, I guess for lack of a better word, weirder, because you're down there and because it's always sunshiny, and yet, you know, you've got this cloud hanging over your head, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say that anyone should feel badly about, you know, not feeling great. You know, on my days when the like you said, when the curtains are all drawn and I can barely get out of bed, I'm still working through the difficulty of those days and, you know, trying to keep away from the feelings of guilt of not being able to accomplish things that I wanted to accomplish on those days. And I think another thing that we're all struggling with trying to get through people's heads is that it's okay to not be okay sometimes.
I know.
Just you just don't want to pack up and live there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, he's not trying to tell anybody that it's bad. That
no,
they have a,
no, not at all.
Have,
you know,
a bad day.
No, it's absolutely not.
It's interesting because the sun is almost taxing. Like, it's, you feel like you're always compelled to do something outside and go outside because it's always nice out. And, you know, like, you feel like if you're stuck inside all day, like, you've accomplished nothing. And there were times where I felt like I lived in a glass elevator. You know, like, here I am in this glass. I could see the whole world around me. And everyone, life is going on outside, and I just kept moving in, like, the same spot, up and down, you know, trapped in this, like, world with every life going on outside. And it was
like,
it was
a fishbowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Are you still there, Janine?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Everything got quiet for everybody. And we're like,
oh, wow, yeah.
Oh my God,
no, I went and I took a nap. I feel refreshed now.
Okay, good to know.
But, I'm sorry,
go ahead.
No,
you've got something.
I was just going to keep talking about the same thing, but you have something.
We've got questions we can cover.
Yeah,
it's, we're all good.
Okay.
So we have covered a lot of what will be keeping you busy in the next few months, but you are also writing a book or more than one book at this moment?
I am. I am writing two children's books. And the the reason why I went with children's books is when I was struggling, I didn't know how to explain it to my children. And I looked for resources out there, and there was no way for a child, like nothing out there, to understand what it is that mommy is going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know what, I'm going to write two books. I'm going to write one for a child to understand what it's like for them to experience a mental health disorder and get a diagnosis. And I'm going to write another one for children to understand what it's like when a parent has a diagnosis and has something, you know, that it's easier for them to understand, that there needs to be, there's no resources out there. Most of the resources are for parents to understand their children who have a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And even those aren't really wonderful because most of the research is done on adults. There's not really research done on kids. And, you know, I explain to my kids in my own way that sometimes mommy's brain doesn't feel good. You know, just like your foot can hurt or your throat can hurt or your ear can hurt, sometimes your brain doesn't feel good. And sometimes you just need to rest and relax your brain and take it easy and that it's okay. And if they want mommy to be a, you know, good, strong, healthy mommy, mommy has to relax her brain, and it's okay. And they all get it. It's so funny.
That's
my kids
cool.
are, yeah, they're little and they get it, which is great. You know,
that's awesome.
My 10-year-old the other day, something was going on, and he said, "Is that a trigger? Are you being triggered?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not being triggered." Like, he knows the terminology.
Plus his little heart. That's great.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, like, now, like, I'm not a sit-down kind of person. And so if they see me laying in my bed and it's a Saturday morning, they'll be like, "Mommy, is your brain sick today?" And I'm like, "No, Mommy just wants to take a break for 5 minutes." Like, you know, they're really good and really, really adapt well. And they understand it. And I love it. You know, I love that they talk mental health when they're little kids.
That's cool. That is really cool. And I think the books that you're writing are so necessary because you don't see anything along those lines out there. You know, you don't see it on Amazon. You don't see it when you go to the bookstore. And, you know, that was actually a concern for Beck and I early on when we got married, is whether or not we were going to have kids. You know, and, you know, her concern was, you know, what do I do if I'm having a bad day and I act out or, you know, what have you, you know? She's like, I don't want to, you know, it was definitely a consideration for us, you know, and
it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, so that's awesome that you're writing those books. That I think it's just so great. It's great that your kids are tuned in.
Definitely. I give credit to anybody that deals with a mental illness and is capable of raising healthy, strong kids. I mean, raising children is a difficult task for anybody.
Yeah.
And for those of us battling a war inside of our brains every day, it's, you know, got to be even more so. And, you know, I don't begrudge anyone, you know, if you're dealing with something, I don't tell anybody that they shouldn't have kids. I'm not that type of person. But for us personally, it just wasn't a good option.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I knew that, like, in my very early 20s. I was already pretty self-aware that wasn't going to be something that I did. you know, we give you props for definitely for raising strong, smart, and aware children. It's a difficult task, you know, like I said, especially when you're dealing with these things you're on your own.
And I actually think that that's probably going to contribute to us conquering the stigma of mental illness is educating our children when they're young.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's really important.
And I started a petition, mm-hmm. actually, because I want to get to kids when they're younger and start teaching them mental health awareness, you know, as a requirement in schools. Now, I thought junior high, high school, college would be the right age group. I've had some folks tell me that they think that we should start as early as elementary school, you know, but obviously each course would have to be catered to a certain age group.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's really important.
I do a lot of speaking to high schoolers. And mm-hmm. What I ended up doing was also starting to speak to middle schoolers, because that was the feedback I got, was why didn't we hear about this earlier? You know,
yeah.
Why didn't we know? I never heard this until now. And so with high schoolers, they're all on social media. Middle schoolers are all on social media. And between the bullying and all of that and peer pressure, it's really important for them to hear it. And I have to tell you, kids don't talk about this with their parents enough. Many parents don't even talk about it at all. And, you know, there's all that controversy with 13 Reasons Why.
Right, yeah.
You know, I watched it, and I had to put my critical advocate hat on instead of watching it as just a viewer, because I knew that it could be upsetting. And
yes.
Yeah.
I think what it did was it has sparked conversations between kids and their parents. And I'm hearing this from all my friends on Facebook who have teens, and I have a lot of friends with teens, and they are watching it with their kids and talking about it. And normally they would have never talked about it. And I think that's important. Anytime we can have our teens talking mental health, because that's where it really begins, especially anxiety. And we want them, when they're ready for college, we want them to be prepared for the stressors that happen when you're living on your own and you have to get, there's deadlines and tests and all of that, all that pressure. They need to be ready for it. And many people, that's where they start experiencing, you know, depression, anxiety, panic attacks in college.
That's, you know, it's funny you say that. It really is. One thing that we've really discovered doing this show over the last, I don't know, however many months, is that everybody that we talk to that has some type of mental illness, be it depression, bipolar disorder, you name it, anxiety, the traits for everything really, if they stopped and thought about it, regardless of when they were diagnosed, really started hitting them around their teens.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, you know, I know it's true for Beck that, you know, she had her diagnosis at 19. And she was aware long before then that she was going through stuff. You mentioned earlier in our interview today that you realized you were going through some stuff. I think it behooves us to talk about it. And that's one of the good things about a show like 13 Reasons Why, as triggering and as disturbing as the show can be and for what it depicts, it's also forcing parents and their kids to talk about this subject in a way that hasn't been talked about before. And I think that's one benefit from it.
Yes, and that's one thing that we do want to say. If you have not watched it yet, or you're thinking of watching it with your kid, or you are a kid and you're thinking about watching it and you struggle with any of these type of things, please be aware that there are triggers. Self-harm is depicted. Obviously, suicidal tendencies are depicted. So please be very, very careful. It's not something you want to just sit down and binge watch over, you know, 10 hours or 13 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just be very careful about the show. So although it does have its positive messages that we're grateful for, there are some things that you could possibly struggle with. So just be aware of that before you dive in with both feet.
Yeah.
So do you plan on, Janine, on real briefly, with the little bit of time we've got left, do you plan on slowing down anytime soon to take a little break?
I do. Once Mental Health America Conference is done, I'm just going to take a little bit of break. You know, during the summer, I'm going to focus on learning more. And I love taking courses, and I love just studying different things, especially when it comes to mental health. And so I may do some more certifications and stuff this summer, but it just will be learning, not jumping around and advocating, because I am so incredibly busy. I need to just take a break because it's important. Mental Health Month is madness for us. And then we need to slow it down.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that is going to end our time with you for this morning. We are sad to say.
Yeah.
We've had a great time talking to you, and we really, really appreciate you being with us today.
And we're looking forward to seeing you at the end of May.
Yeah.
I know. This is
we're
fun.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So we will be signing off with Matthew Olson's violin version of Evermore, the new song from Beauty and the Beast. And Janine, if you would just stay on the line for a moment.
Sure.
Yep, don't go anywhere.
Thank you. Hey guys, thank you so much for watching. That is my favorite song from the new Beauty and the Beast movie. Make sure you're subscribed. And if you really want to join the Shirtless family, go check out my Patreon page and pledge a dollar. Thanks guys, and remember, don't lose your shirt.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.